Well, to me, $2.1 million seems like an absolutely crazy amount to pay for a two-bedroom apartment. But Pat and Jerry Dobson considered it their dream home. I know most of you probably paid $2.1 million for your two-bedroom apartment too, right? But they considered it to be their dream home, and they fell in love with the breathtaking views from their 42nd floor condo in San Francisco. So when the opportunity came for them to buy that spot in this 58-story skyscraper, this luxury residential building called the Millennium Tower, they jumped all over it and they bought it. And as you can see, I have a picture of the Millennium Tower, maybe. So this is the Millennium Tower. You can see it's a beautiful skyscraper, and it dominates the skyline of San Francisco. It looks out over the Golden Gate Bridge. And they loved it at first. But very soon after moving in, the Dobsons started to notice a problem. They noticed that when they baked cakes in their oven, the cakes never ended up level. They always listed to one side, and they were uneven. And then they noticed that when they put a tennis ball, put the dog's toy on the floor, it wouldn't stay put. But instead, it rolled in the same direction every single time. There was a problem, and soon enough, the truth came out about the Millennium Tower. Not only was it leaning, but it was also sinking. In fact, since it was completed in 2008, the Millennium Tower has sunk 17 inches and tilted 15 inches. I was reading this New York Times article about the building, and I read that the Transbay Joint Powers Authority, which is like a local San Francisco governmental agency, said that the sinking and tilting of the building were, and I quote, exclusively due to its deficient foundation system. Well, that's not surprising, right? You could have guessed that. Of course, if it's leaning and sinking, that it has to be due to the foundation system. And then Ray Sullivan, who is a geologist at San Francisco State University, said this: the problem is that the building is not tied into bedrock. The building is not tied into bedrock. And I read that and I couldn't help but wonder, well, what's going to happen when they have one of those earthquakes like they frequently have out there? But we already know what's going to happen. It's not going to be good. It's gotten so bad that some of the residents of the building have sold their apartments at a great loss just so they could get out of the building. And now, because the building continues to sink and continues to tilt, engineers are proposing a fix. They want to drill hundreds of steel and concrete micropiles. Now, I didn't know what a micropile was, but think small pillars. They want to drill hundreds of them underneath the building all the way to the bedrock so that they can stabilize it and set it back upright. That fix is going to cost somewhere between $200 and $500 million. Which very likely is going to be beyond the $350 million it cost to build the entire building in the first place. So it is not going to be an easy or a cheap fix. And when I read the story of the Millennium Tower, I thought to myself, wow, they would never have been in this mess if those engineers and those architects had just listened to Jesus. Now, it's always a pretty good idea to listen to Jesus, right? But in this case, it would have been a very good idea. If these architects and engineers had just listened to Jesus, they'd be in a much better place. And I think you'll agree with me about this after we read our gospel lesson. So I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 24. Here's what Jesus says. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it will not collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, all other ground is sinking sand. Can you do that for me? All other ground is sinking sand. You might recognize that from days gone by when you sang out of a hymnal, and you might recognize the hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Love and Righteousness. On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Now, for context, this passage that we just read from the Gospel of Matthew is at the very tail end of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And it's a sermon that, it's a long sermon. Much longer than you would put up with on a Sunday morning. I'll tell you that, because Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount all the way at the beginning of chapter 5, and it goes through the end of chapter 7. It covers three chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, and it covers a lot of ground in between. I mean, Jesus talks about a lot of stuff. He begins with these beatitudes, these blessings, and Jesus pronounces that people you wouldn't really automatically assume are blessed, he pronounces them as blessed. And so he says, "Blessed are the poor." Not necessarily something you think about. "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the merciful." Contrary to popular opinion, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the brokenhearted," Jesus says. It's where he rolls out all of these blessings on people who are kind of on the underside. And then he moves on to continue his sermon. It's where he teaches us that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It's in this sermon where Jesus teaches us that anybody can love their friends, but he's called us to more than that. We're not only called to love our friends, we're called to love our enemies. We're called to pray for those who persecute us and love the very people who despise us. In this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us to turn the other cheek, even when we want to punch somebody in the face. He says, no, turn the other cheek and give generously more than you've been asked for. And then Jesus says, don't pray and don't do good works so that other people will see, but instead pray and do good works so that your heavenly Father will see and hear your prayers and not anybody else. Jesus goes on to teach us to pray what we now refer to as the Lord's Prayer. All of this is in the Sermon on the Mount. And then he goes on and he says, don't worry, don't judge others. And at the end of this really long sermon, Jesus tells this parable of the two builders. One builder builds his house on the solid rock. That house is never going to sink. It's never going to tilt. It's not going to lean. That house is on a firm foundation, so that when the storms come, and they will come, when the winds blow and the waters rise, you're safe in that house, because it will stand against the storm. The other builder, however, does not build his house on the rock. He builds his house on the sand. And at first, it looks like everything's just fine. In fact, you probably couldn't tell a difference between the house that's built on the sand and the house that's built on the rock. Maybe the house built on the sand is even fancier and nicer and bigger than the one that's built on the rock. There's no difference. You can't tell a difference until the storms come. They always come. And the winds blow and the waters rise, and that house, the house that's built on the sand, collapses. And Jesus makes a connection for us. And he says, if you listen to my teachings and you actually live them out, then you are like the builder who builds on the rock. You have a solid foundation that can weather any storm. But anybody who listens and doesn't obey, well, that person is like a foolish builder. And when the storms come and the winds rage, that house built on the sand is going to fail. Here's how the Message says it. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Now, I read that from the Message and I thought, I wish the Message had used another word other than stupid, because that sounds so harsh. But it is pretty true to the Greek, because the Greek word that gets translated foolish, or in this case, stupid, the Greek word is moras. Say that with me. I knew you were Greek scholars and you knew that already, but you might not know that moras is where we get our word moron. You did know. See, I'm going to sit down. And so if you sub that in to this verse, here's what Jesus says. If you use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like the moronic carpenter. He built his house on the sand, on a beach, but when the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. The thing that strikes me about this is that Jesus said it's not just knowing his teachings that are important. Now, of course, it is important to know them, because if you don't know them, then how in the world could you ever live them out? But it's not enough to stop with knowledge. Knowledge alone won't cut it. Knowledge has to lead to obedience. And so that's why he says, but if you use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, or in the New Living Translation that we read earlier, anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. And that person is headed for a mighty crash. And the thing about obedience is that it requires a studied longevity. It's not something you can just do once and be done. Maybe another way to put it is, it takes time to build a solid foundation. We have to commit. We have to work on it. And I know I mentioned this last week, but it's worth repeating again. In our new members class, we use this curriculum called a disciples path. And the thing I love most about a disciples path is that it lines out for all of us, no matter where we are on our journey, it lines out for all of us the practices, the seven practices that help us ensure that our foundation is built on solid rock. And those seven practices are, again, corporate worship. It's what we're doing right now. Every week, week in and week out, we gather here. We open up God's Word and we get reminded, because the world tries to help us to forget. They try to convince us of other stories and other narratives and other ways of thinking about ourselves. But we gather here to remind ourselves week in and week out of who we are and whose we are. We are beloved children of God. And we get reminded of that week in and week out. It's not something we can just do once. We have to come back over and over again. And life groups, gifts-based service, prayer, scripture meditation and scripture reading, financial generosity, invitational evangelism. All of these are practices that help us over time with this studied longevity to ensure that our foundation is built on the solid rock. They're not just things that we can do once and check them off. We never finish. So no matter where we are on our journey, we should always be taking the next step in these seven practices as we grow closer and closer to God, and we become hopefully more and more like Jesus by the power of His grace. These practices help build a solid foundation. We don't get to go to Harvest Hope and say, all right, check that gifts-based service thing off. I'm done with that. Or I went to life group. We had a 6-week study. Whew, now I'm done. It takes longevity, this sort of studied longevity, because you can't just do it once. It'd be like going to the doctor and the doctor asking you, which mine frequently does, now, have you been exercising? Yeah, I did it twice. Now I'm good. I never have to do that again. No, you have to stay at it for the long haul. And so real quick, as you take a glance over these seven practices, How are you doing? Are all these a part of your life? In which of these areas do you need to maybe take a step? In which of these areas maybe do you need to concentrate a little more? The whole purpose of this Reset series has been to give us an opportunity here at the beginning of a new year, to give us an opportunity to assess our spiritual lives, to really take an inventory and to repent and to refocus and to recenter our lives. In other words, to reset on the things that really matter and to be sure that when we push that reset button, we take the next step. Because it's no good to push the reset button, but then not reinforce the foundation on which our faith is built. This week with Jesus talking all about foundations and construction and all that, I decided that since we have a construction crew on site, I decided maybe I ought to go have a conversation with one of them. So I sought out the foreman from our contractor Trail. His name is Chris Fry. And I sat down with him a few days ago and I said, "Look, Chris, I'm preaching on Jesus' parable of the two builders, and you know the story, the one builder builds his house on the solid rock, and the rains come, and the winds rage, and that house stands firm. The other person, the other builder, builds his house on the sand." And so, talk to me about foundations. I mean, obviously foundations are important, but do you have any insights that might help me? And Chris said, "Really, there's not a lot to say. Because it is very, very simple. Everything hinges on the foundation. If the foundation is faulty, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on the rest of the building system is going to fail. And once you're all moved in and you're enjoying the space, nobody ever pays any attention to the foundation anymore. You don't even notice it, but it is the most important piece. It doesn't matter how fancy or beautiful the rest of the building is. If the foundation isn't solid, it's only a matter of time before you have serious problems." And of course, that made me think of this Millennium Tower. It's a beautiful, ornate, $350 million, 58-story luxury apartment building. It is fancy. And we know that some people paid $2.1 million just for a two-bedroom apartment in this huge building. It's got extravagant amenities. It's got beautiful views. But it was all a farce because the foundation is bad. It's sinking. It's all in danger of crashing down like a house of cards because that foundation is not built on solid bedrock. And as our old hymn reminds us, all other ground is sinking sand. This week at staff meeting, we were talking about this passage, and in fact, we were reflecting back over the entire Reset series, and we were reviewing some of the things that we've talked about. You know, we started out contrasting resolutions with reset, and in that discussion, Pastor Laura Allen said, "You know, I think maybe resolutions fail because when people break them, they feel guilty and they just throw up their hands and quit. But the good news is we can reset anytime by God's grace." You know that's true. We can reset at any time because of God's grace. Furthermore, it's my prayer that every single one of us would take this opportunity, this Reset series, to really think about where we are. Where we're excelling, where we're doing well and building our faith foundation on the solid rock of Jesus and His teachings and obedience to them. And we're putting that above everything else. I hope we'll take an assessment and think about where we're excelling, but also where we're falling short. And by God's grace, I hope we would have the courage and the desire to push the reset button. And refocus. Get back to basics. Build our faith on the rock solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. not just knowing it, but obeying it. Because the storms of life will come. If you're not in one now, then you're just waiting for one. The storms of life will come, and when the rains fall and the waters rise, there will no longer be any way to hide where our foundation stands. Because it will be exposed. And all other ground, other than the solid bedrock of Jesus and His Word and obedience to Him, all other ground really is sinking sand. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we confess to you that we frequently fall short. Our strength hits its limits, and our obedience is mercurial at best. Forgive our frailties. Wipe our slates clean. And God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, reset our vision. Reset our hearts. Reset our minds. And Lord, reset our foundation. Help us to build our knowledge and obedience on Christ, our solid rock, because we know that all other ground is truly sinking sand. We pray this in the name of Christ, our solid rock. And all God's people said,